You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball.
One ball!
The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores! Goal.
Scoring the goals.
He shoots, he scores,
scoring the goals.
Hello and welcome to the League Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by Pete Farris, look ahead to the best of the Championship action. And football is back. It's back with a bang. Plenty of games to look forward to on Saturday. We've got one on Friday night, one on Sunday as well. Jack Critchley looking at League One and League Two in the other podcast that we're doing, the other League podcast. But firstly, all change here, Pete. I mean, listeners might be expecting to hear the lovely voice of Lee Phelps, but I've replaced him, haven't I?
You have. I don't like change, Alex, so this is a strange thing. But yeah, no, you have replaced him, so it's going to be very interesting to see how you get on in the Naps table this year, because obviously Lee started well, it drifted away, and then I made a glorious charge to safety from what can only be described as a position of real weakness. So yeah, really looking forward to this season, Alex. I mean, at the end of every season, I don't care what whatever football journalist says to anyone, by the end of that season, when it comes to an end, you go, oh, I could do with a little less football for a while. And you have 3 or 4 weeks where you go, I'm really enjoying having no football. Then by day one of week five, you're like, well, I do need some football at some point. And day two, it's like, oh my God. And then you get to this stage right now. We're recording this on the Thursday before the Friday night game that starts the Championship season off. You get to that day and you go, oh my God, 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 I'm so excited.
And it's a combination of excitement, trepidation, maybe, if your pre-season results haven't quite gone your way. We're going to be looking at a few sides who have strengthened really well over the summer, and some that really haven't done quite as much as you'd expect. Is that fair?
That's very, very fair, yeah. Very fair. You're absolutely right. It's a real kind of nervy part for some, and really exciting. I mean, just generally the fact that football's back is great, but I completely agree, Alex. There are some clubs that have done really clever business and some clubs that have done either no business or bad business, if I may say so. Ooh. So the Championship, and the weird thing about this is, of course, this stage of the season, the transfer window hasn't closed. So when we're talking about these markets right now, of course, that means they're probably not going to do too much business before Saturday. But when we talk about them in 2 or 3 weeks, it might be that right now I slag a club off, say they haven't bought anyone, they're rubbish, blah, 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 blah. And then by the 1st of September, they've signed 4 great players, and all of a sudden I've got to come on here and go, well, they're looking quite good now. And that's the kind of weird part of the season we're in. But luckily, of course, in these 90-minute outright markets and the other, of course, in-play ones and the other anti-post markets as well, there's great value to be found with things as they are now, and that's probably the best bit of all.
Okay, right. Well, we'll look at the outright markets for the Championship. Derby and Middlesbrough, your 6-1 joint favourites. Hull at 10s, Brentford 12s, Burnley at 14s, QPR at 16s, along with Wolves, Brighton 20s with Ipswich and Sheffield Wednesday, and 25s or bigger for the rest. We'll start with Middlesbrough, Pete, a side that are fairly close to your heart. Playoff heartbreak, of course, in the playoff final at the end of last season. Can they bounce back from that? They've obviously lost the likes of Bamford and Vossen, but Stuart Downing coming back is a huge boost. How do you see them getting on? 6-1, a fair price?
Yes, I think it is a fair price. And despite losing a couple of names, the likes that you've mentioned, Vossen, Bamford, Tomlin, of course, they are still a very strong unit. Stuani's gone in, very, very good player. Stuart Downing was a surprise signing, really, but a very good one. And this Jordan Rhodes saga continues to rumble, although it does feel a little bit like it's maybe turning a corner now and Rhodes may be on his way in. That would be a great signing. They're a strong side. And if you're talking about the first game of the season, we'll get to Preston North End Borough in a second. Early on, losing playoff teams from the year before tend to do very well at the beginning of the next season, you know. It's very intriguing. We'll talk about that, I'm sure, more soon. But yeah, I think it's a fair price. Do I think they win it? I don't like playing the winner in this league particularly. But Borough at 7-4 for promotion, with the way that they've strengthened, how close they came last year, I think is a very, very fair price. And by the way, I did read a stat. In the last 10 years, there has been a lot of clubs, I think it's around 6 or 7, that have been over 25-1 when the season has started, who've then gained promotion.
Interesting. Okay. What about Derby, then, the other joint favourites? Similar to Middlesbrough in a way, in that they have to prove something here. They've almost got to bounce back. They were the best side in the Championship for a lot of last year, but when it mattered, they fell away, but they've got a new manager in. Some new players as well. They've had, not an overhaul as such, but they've freshened things up a bit. They've got a fair bit to prove, but again, they look to be one of the sides that it's hard to keep out the frame.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment. But, I mean, at the same time, you've also got to look at it as in, we don't know what their manager's going to be able to do we? You know, Paul Clement is a highly respected coach, and so he should be as well, a highly respected coach. But ultimately, we don't know what he does as a manager, you know, going into his first season as a boss. So we don't know about Paul Clement at the moment. We know about, for example, Aitor Karanka and some of the other very good managers in this league. It could, of course, turn out that he's phenomenal. But at the moment, we don't know. The signing of Tom Ince, of course, on a permanent deal from Hull. Andres Weimann, I think, is a very good signing, actually, from Aston Villa. 23, I thought he could have done a good job this season for Villa. So let alone dropping down and playing, of course, here for Derby. Darren Bent, of course, comes in as well. Chris Baird's a good signing. Scott Carson comes in, of course, as a new goalkeeper. And so they have strengthened in quite a clever way. They've spent big money. And, of course, not really received a huge amount yet, but there's still discussions about one or two of their players possibly heading for the exit door. The stuff about Will Hughes never really truly goes away, does it? So the 7-4 for Derby is, in my opinion, a much less attractive price than the 7-4 on Middlesbrough. Because what you're getting on that right now is a team that you know whose manager has got very close and a squad that you know on the whole is still together and has improved. With Derby, we don't at the moment know about the manager. He could be brilliant, he could not be. And we have a squad that is still quite similar to last season's, don't we? I mean, Tom Ince going in, Darren Bent going in, you know, they were there at times last season anyway. Yeah. So that's the thing. If you're asking about which is the better 7-4 for those two in terms of the promotion market and the better 6-1 in terms of the outright, then I think you have to argue Middlesbrough in that case, don't you?
I think I'd agree with you on that one. Right, we'll just touch on very briefly the three sides that came down, Hull, Burnley and QPR, 10-1, 14-1 and 16-1 respectively to win the league. Of those three, which one do you think is best equipped to bounce back up at the first time of asking? You mentioned togetherness. That hasn't always been the case at QPR. Hull have lost quite a lot of their key players, whereas Burnley have signed players who are sort of befitting of where you think they should end up. The likes of Vossen, as we mentioned, who's left Middlesbrough's come in. They've signed Matthew Loughton, of course, from Villa, and some interesting acquisition, shall we say, for Sean Dyche's men.
Yeah, he's signed, obviously, Tendai Dariqua, a player I know a lot about from Chesterfield, who's stepping up to the Championship, has a lot to prove, but I personally think will prove it. But the players that they have lost, of course, you know, Danny Ings was a big player on and off the field. Kieran Trippier is one of the most underrated right-backs in England for me, and he's obviously gone off to join Spurs. And it's going to be an interesting season. I think they have invested well, and from the sounds of it, they're chasing Henri Lansbury from Forest. They're chasing Grant Hanley, the Blackburn captain, both of whom would be great signings. They, I think, are interesting at 14-1 for the outright. I don't want to back QPR. Again, you could turn out that Chris Ramsey will be a brilliant manager, and I hope for QPR's fans that's the case. But we don't know about him. We know that Dyche has got this club up, don't we? So we know about him. We don't yet know about Chris Ramsey, I don't think, because QPR were a lost cause, really, when he took over. So that's the thing about QPR. They've got a lot of players to go out, of course. They'll bring some players in, I'm sure, but a lot of names, I think, will still go out, Charlie Austin and the like. As for Hull, I think they'll do okay as well. Signed well. A couple of really good players have gone in again. Another player I know a lot about, Sam Clucas, has got potential to be brilliant. So I think for me, Hull and Burnley, out of the three that have come down, I'd be happiest to put my name to them doing the best. But, you know, it could turn out that QPR at 16-1 would be a brilliant outright play. I doubt it, but it could well be. I think for me, of the three, I think Burnley will do the best. 14-1, of course, for the title this season.
OK, so if I was going to push you for one anti-post pick for the Championship, who would it be?
In terms of promotion from the Championship this season, there is one team I really quite like the look of, and that's Fulham at 7-1.
OK.
They've invested really well. Tom Kearney's the most underrated player in this league for the last couple of years. He's my favourite midfielder in the Championship. I think he should play Premier League football. They are looking really good. Jazz Richards is a clever signing. They've lost the likes. I mean, Patrick Roberts is a phenomenal young talent who's gone off to Man City, and that's going to hurt them. But Ross McCormack was involved in a huge amount of goals last season. Everyone laughed at the 11 million, quite understandably. But actually, when you look in the top goal scorer and top assisters list last season, he wasn't far off in either of them. He was very, very good indeed. From the sounds of it, they're still going to invest further. You know, if you read Fulham message boards, if you read the local press around there, Fulham are going to invest further in more good players. Jamie O'Hara's gone in as well, who's a very good player on his day, if he can stay fit. I think Fulham are going to have a really, really good season. So actually, for me, one of the outsiders would be Fulham at 7-1.
Okay, fair enough. As for the top goal scorers then in the Championship, I'll spin you through the top of the betting. Benikofobi 8-1, Chris Martin and Jordan Rhodes at 9s, Daryl Murphy at 10s, along with Ross McCormack. 12-1 for Charlie Austin, 14s for Darren Bent, 16s Andre Gray, easy for me to say, and 20s all bigger the rest. A market where you'd imagine, firstly, you need to make sure that your player's still going to be at the club and in the Championship. At the end of August, that doesn't look especially likely with the likes of Charlie Austin. As you said, the Jordan Rhodes is up for debate. It's likely that he will stay in the Championship, but maybe not with his present club. Plenty of ifs and buts, and plenty of value to be found at bigger prices as well here, Pete. Who stands out for you?
Jordan Rhodes at 9-1. 21 goals for him last season. A little interesting stat for you, by the way. At Huddersfield, he scored 73 goals and then moved on. At Blackburn, he has scored 73 goals.
No way.
Yeah, very interesting that. I thought that was intriguing. Mm. Just a little thing that caught my eye when I was looking at this. 9-1, Jordan Rhodes would be, I think, a very interesting one. There are ones further down the list as well. Stuani, also of Middlesbrough, could be intriguing. But, you know, I don't want this to just be a Middlesbrough-based podcast, because Bobby Zamora's, of course, gone home to Brighton. Mm. They struggled like hell for goals last year. 20-1, he could be interesting. Andre Gray is going to be a real handful for a lot of clubs. But the other one is Ross McCormack. If I fancy Fulham, and by the way, I really fancy Wolves as well, both to have great seasons, then Ross McCormack for Fulham at 10s would be one of them. He was not far off, like I said, top goal scorer in the Championship last season. His goals were, you know, vital to them staying in the league, basically, because at times they look like a worrying prospect, but Ross McCormack dragged them kicking and screaming. Now, in an improved Fulham side, I think for me, he will kick on from the 17 goals he got last season, and at 10s, I think, would probably be one of the best bets.
Okay, McCormack at 10s, Rhodes at 9s, interesting, but I mean, you look through the market, there's players at big prices who have got proven Premiership ability. I mean, Jelovic is 25, Vyman at 40s, you've got Beckford, who, of course, scored a lot of goals for Preston last year, who's coming up at 40s. There's plenty of players, and I'm pretty sure you can find one that you like if you're listening at home. We'll move on to the first match then of the Championship season. It's Brighton against Nottingham Forest coming up on Friday evening at 8:15. Brighton are 13-10. The draw is 23-10, and Nottingham Forest in the betting at 21-10. A hard game to call, this one, Pete. Brighton, who, as we've already touched on, didn't score many goals last year. That was their biggest failing. But Chris Hughton will make sure that once again they're defensively organised. Whereas Forest were very up and down, mainly down, it has to be said, last year. But they're a side that on their day, when it does all come together, can be pretty formidable. Brighton have lost their last three opening day fixtures, and Forest have won their last three. How do you see this one going?
Well, first and foremost, there's a stat that we talk about an awful lot on In Play Radio, which is the Friday night season opener. You know, the big marquee opener. Here comes the Championship season. Oh my God, there's been no goals. Four of the last six matches on a Friday night have been under 2.5 goals. Mm-hmm. On this opening Friday night, 13-20 is what the traders have priced that up at. They've got there first, but you can have a little look at the under 1.5 as well. I'd rather play the under 2.5, truth be told, but they could be very much worth looking at. As for Brighton, they've signed Toma Hemed from Almeria, 9 goals last season. Rosinha, Zamora, who we've mentioned, and a young man from the Real Madrid under-19s, Jack Harper, the young Scot, who could turn out to be very interesting. In terms of losing players, Craig McHale-Smith's gone, but I don't think really anyone they'd sort of weep over. The problem Brighton had last season was that from February onwards, they only won twice. They had the fifth worst attack in the league. So those are both horrible stats, Alex. But they also had the sixth best defence. So as bad as they were going forward, they were great at the back. That back line has been kept intact by Chris Hughton. And like you say, they'll be organised and they'll be tricky to beat. And that, for me, is a phrase to keep in mind in this. They'll be tricky to beat. As for Forest, well, are they stronger? I mean, Dougie Freedman went in last season and things improved, but then they only had one win in the last 10 games. That, however, was, I think, down an awful lot to the big injury to Britt Asombalonga, wasn't it? He'd scored a lot of goals before being injured in February, 15 goals before being injured in February, and then didn't... of course, feature for the rest of the season. Henri Lansbury is apparently a man who may well be on his way out. So as good as he is, and as much as you like to back him for goals, and you should last season have liked to have backed him, you maybe don't want to go hell for leather on that because you don't know where his head is. So this is the interesting thing for me. Asombalonga will not be back just yet, but when they do, Forest will improve. When he does, I should say. Forest will improve. But up until that point, I'm not keen on them scoring a raft of goals. Dexter Blackstock's a good player, but I think he's got loads of goals in him. Mikel Antonio, Tyler Walker, Jamie Ward's a good signing from Derby and has got goals. I mean, they have strength in the back line. Matt Mills has gone in. Pinillos has gone in, the left back from Spain. But this is a game that just, even if the Friday night start wasn't pushing towards unders on the goals, I'd be looking at unders on the goals, and I'd be looking at a draw. I mean, the draw here is 23-10. I really like that. I'm not a massive fan of match result and both teams to score draw at 16-5 because I'm not convinced that, really, that will happen. And draw, 17-5 would be the other way in here, Alex. Ultimately, this is a side that, a game, I should say, that is going to be very tight anyway. Two teams that we can't yet, I don't think, trust Brighton to score a lot of goals, despite Zamora and Hemed going in. Baldock, of course, wants to prove himself now that he's been there a while, of course, but he wants to prove himself. And on the other side of things, Forest back line is going to be decent to organise sides, but neither that really inspire as things stand. So that draw in the end, it was the only place I could really go. And actually, I've had a bit of a decent bet on that this weekend for myself.
Okay, 23-10 the draw. As you said, Pete, you know, you've got the match result. Both teams to score, 16-5. Draw and unders, from what you've said, could be a play. Just finding the price for that one. 11-4, which isn't too bad. Dutching 0-0 and 1-1 effectively there. But no, I agree with you. I think that will be a fairly low-scoring first game. Hopefully the next game that we're going to look at may provide a little bit more excitement. It's Leeds against Burnley, and it's the Saturday lunchtime kickoff. Leeds are 9-5, the draw 21-10, and Burnley are 29-20. Another really intriguing one, this. Hard to call with Leeds. Typically, you wouldn't want to play there the first day of the season, but at the same time, if you do take the lead, it can be quite a nice place for an away side to pass the ball around as the home fans get frustrated. Burnley, of course, dropping down from the Premiership, but as we mentioned earlier, although they have lost some players, they've strengthened quite cleverly and in areas where they needed to, but they have done so. It's priced up as though this could be pretty tight. Is that how you see it?
I think it's a home win.
Okay.
I think Burnley will have a good season. Don't get me wrong, I don't think they're going to have a horrible season or anything like that. But there is an interesting stat that I actually did myself, sitting here last night in this very sofa, adding and subtracting and minusing and dividing, and there was a kind of a weird, difficult quadratic equation that, to be fair, wasn't even necessary. And that's when teams have come down. So the last 9 teams relegated from the Premier League, so the last 3 years. 3 years up to this one. Mm-hmm. They've only taken 11 points from a possible 27 on the opening day. So when you're looking at them, so on average, basically, you're more likely to not win than you are to win on the opening day of the season if you've just been relegated from the Premier League. Have I explained that properly?
No, I get you, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're siding towards Leeds or maybe double chance or something like that?
I'm just siding towards Leeds, my friend, here. I mean, there's a real feel of positivity for the first time in quite a long while at Leeds. And when you look at that, they've kept hold of all the young players, Byram, Cook, Taylor, Moa, all there. They've brought in Chris Wood, who got 11-18 in his last spell in the Championship when he was, of course, at Millwall. Stuart Dallas is an absolutely just superb signing. And I know that Burnley, we've mentioned, you know, Jelavussen's gone in there from Racing Henk, having been at Borough last season. He's 15-8 any time. Tendai Dariqua is a really good right back, but we don't know what he's going to do in the Championship yet. And we just don't quite know what Burnley are going to do. A lot of their good stuff did come down that right-hand side with Kieran Trippier, and without him gone, that is going to, I think, create a bit of a problem for Sean Dyche. It's a problem that I think they'll solve, but it is a problem nevertheless on the opening game of the season, especially against the Leeds side, who the fans have actually got very little to be unhappy about over the course of the summer. They've employed a manager who, I know he failed at his last club, but has succeeded at the one before and plays really good football, exciting football. And so for me, Leeds at 9-5 are a very, very big price at home. A very big price. And with the stat I've just given you about teams that come down who are more likely not to win than win, then you're absolutely right. The double chance Leeds at 8-15 is well worth looking at. The Leeds draw no bet at 11-10 is, I think, also very, very good. And even though he picked up a little bit of an injury in pre-season, I would look at Chris Wood. I would look at Chris Wood here. He's 2-1 any time. He scored in 6 of his first 10 league games when he was at Millwall. He's a man who likes to start quickly. So for me, it's a Leeds win, but I think the Chris Wood bet is even better than that at 2s.
Okay, so siding with Leeds there in the Saturday lunchtime game. We'll move to the Sunday lunchtime game, which is Preston against Middlesbrough. Preston priced up at 21-10. The draw 23-10. Middlesbrough 23-20. Middlesbrough do need to bounce back from that playoff defeat. But it's quite a kind start. If you're going to be away from home, I know it's a side that have just come up, but Middlesbrough have got a good record against Preston in recent years when they have come up against them. Preston, without a win on the opening day of a new season since 2008-09, haven't won at home on the opening day since the 2004-05 season. So everything seems pretty well set for a Middlesbrough win here, Pete. Is that how you see it?
Are you reading my screen?
I might be.
Have you done that?
Are they the wonderful Optostats that are available on the William Hill website?
I did actually get those notes. That's on the William Hill website. I actually added the previous relegation points together myself, but then I looked on that website and I went, I probably could have just used the stats on here.
Yeah.
But never mind. Losing playoff finalist Borough, of course, and again, by the way, the last three teams to lose in the playoff final, as I said earlier on, have gone on to win on the opening day of the season. So bear that in mind. Often it's a real incentive. I mean, Deepdale is a tricky place to go. It's high-sided. The sound travels well. It's a bit of a strange atmosphere at Deepdale, but it's a really good one as well. I was there a couple of times last season, and it is a really good ground. They've signed the players who were best for them last season. Beckford, of course, is officially theirs now. Paul Gallagher, who's a superb player, has been signed, of course, officially now. Dan Johnson was great last year for Chesterfield and for Preston. And they have strengthened what was a weak area with Pickford, who's gone in on loan, having had a really good season last year. But that's it.
Mm.
They haven't strengthened. That League One squad, so a team that was almost a Premier League side last season, who have lost a couple of players, but in my opinion are actually generally stronger, are playing a side who got through the playoffs last year in League One, but who haven't strengthened.
Just consolidated, haven't they?
They've just consolidated. So that is a real, real worry for me. And Borough are 15-4 minus a goal. So that's interesting. Downing anytime if you want to play it at 3-1 is interesting. Kike's had a really good pre-season. He's 17-10 as well, should you want to play him anytime. But that Borough minus one at 15-4, I don't think Borough are going to rip teams apart all season. I think they're going to go up, but I don't think they're going to rip teams apart all season. And I don't think Preston are going to be abject all season. But for me, when you're betting on the opening game of a league season, because you don't have form, you don't have a huge amount other than you've looked at the signings, you've looked at the news around the club, and you've said, I think this side right now is stronger than this side. That's what we're doing for the opening 2-3 weeks of the season, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
It's not about form as such.
No, it isn't.
Because there isn't any. So what it's about is this team stronger, weaker, or the same as last season right now to me? And for me, Preston are the same as last season. They're a League One side who deserve to get promoted, so fair enough, but they're a League One side who've signed the most important League One players but haven't improved. Borough, having lost Tomlin, Bamford, Vussen, have still brought in Fabrini, who's a very, very good player. Stuani, of course, has gone in, and they're going to keep strengthening. And they've still got the core of their very best players from last season. Therefore, Borough minus one is a very, very good play at 15-4 for me.
Okay, so one of the best bets of the weekend, Middlesbrough on the outright.
It is. 23-20 is a really good price. 23-20 at time of recording, a really good price.
Okay, then, so we'll move to Cardiff against Fulham. It is a noon kickoff on Saturday. Not a televised game, but a noon kickoff nevertheless. Cardiff is 6-5, the draw is 23-10, and Fulham are 2-1. Cardiff, a side who I think a lot of people thought would do better than they did last year. In the end, they were pretty disappointing. They've got a chance to put that right this year, but again, another side that haven't really strengthened as you would expect. Fulham, on the other hand, have got rid of a lot of players. I mean, they're still sort of getting rid of players from the time in the Premier League, but slowly sort of getting them out, bringing in fresh new faces, and they've got a chance here to start the season with a bang. It's not the easiest game, but they're a tasty price. Is that right, Pete?
Yeah, Fulham are a great bet here. Full disclosure, I'm putting up quite a few away teams this weekend. And actually, on the opening game of the season, game week one last season, only two away teams won. But there was a lot of very good teams at home. A lot of the teams that went up were at home last season, opening day. Bournemouth weren't, but a lot of the others were. And so you've got to bear that in mind. Fulham are great value here. I mentioned Tom Kearney earlier on. I just think he's... I've been going on about this guy for about 4 years on this podcast. It's getting embarrassing. It's almost like the Tom Kearney show. But he is absolutely superb. I mentioned O'Hara, of course. Like you said, he's still jettisoning a few players and a very good young talent in Patrick Roberts, who's going to play for England if Man City let him play or send him out on loan. He is incredible. But there is still real room for me for Fulham to strengthen further. And they're going to. That's the important thing. Now, that doesn't matter for this game because they won't have done to the extent that you maybe think they might do by the end of August. But the point is here. Cardiff have jettisoned some of their big away journeys. So Théophile Catherine, Lefondre, for example, have left. And it's hard to look at them and think they've improved, because I don't think they have. Last season, like you said, maybe wasn't a success. They finished at 11th, and they haven't strengthened. A few loan signings from Arsenal, but that's not really strengthening. They're not stronger, but Fulham are a lot stronger. Now, it might be, of course, that a team strengthening still doesn't mean necessarily they're as good as their opponents, does it? Because it might be strengthening from a weaker position. But, you know, Ben Pringle's gone into Fulham as well, who's a very, very good player. They are a side who, for me, this season, are going to mount something very, very good. I don't think a league win, but they will be in and around the playoffs come the end of the season for me. Now, at the moment, there's no goal scorer markets on this match, because if there was, I'd be all over Ross McCormack, all over it. But I do think, this, you know, Cardiff have got some good goal scorers in there. Owen Doyle, for example, I think might have a very good season indeed. But Fulham are the play. There is not a question in my mind here. Fulham are the play. So you go to your draw no bets. You go to your plus a goals. 6-4 draw no bet Fulham. 4-6 plus a goal Fulham. They are a lot stronger than they were. They still have more strengthening to do, and from the sounds of it, will do so. But Cardiff are a side who've been in a funk for quite a while, and none of their summer business suggests to me that they should be A, out of that funk, or B, 6-5 here. I think that Fulham very much are the play, and ultimately, that's the way to get into it.
Priced up very kindly, I think, towards the away side.
Yes, I would completely agree with that.
Okay, the fifth that we're going to look at is Blackburn against Wolves. The next three games are all 3 o'clock kickoffs, and Blackburn are 5-4. The draw is 23-10, and Wolves are 15-8. Another intriguing one, this, Pete. You've got Blackburn, who last year were in and out. They've lost some decent players, some key players, like some Gusted, of course, moving up to the Premier League. Jordan Rhodes, will he still be there? We don't know, but it's likely that he will play tomorrow. Wolves, another side that were a nearly side last year. Two sides that they'll really want to win here to sort of kickstart the season. They both could make a decent charge for promotion. But which one do you think will win out on Saturday?
Wolves. It's another away team. It's another away team here, Alex. And I don't know if I'm just going mad for value just because football's back or what, but I don't think it's the case. They lost Bakary Sakho, of course, which is a big loss because he was brilliant for them last season. But they do still have a pretty impressive group of players. Connor Cody's a very, very good central midfielder. Jed Wallace is a player that a lot of big clubs are looking at, and they eventually pulled the trigger on him, going in, obviously, from Portsmouth. And so... You're left with a Wolves side who are strengthening. They're trying to sign Misha Giroud from Legia Warsaw, which is if they get Misha Giroud, which has been going on for a while now. But if they get him, that is insane because he is unbelievable. Juve were looking at him in January. You know, this is not out of nowhere. This is incredible. They've got Benik Afobe, who got 13-21 last season for them. Nwadiko, the pace and the power in that front line is absolutely just frightening. And Wolves are the play. Like you said, Blackburn have lost Rüdiger Stead. They're probably going to lose Jordan Rhodes. They've lost Tom Kearney. They are going to have to fight off bids for their captain from Burnley, Grant Hanley, who's a very good central defender. But they're going to have to fight off bids for him. So all of a sudden, you're looking at a Wolves who are 15-8, who've kept, apart from Sacco, the rest of their squad together. They've brought in Adam Lafondre, who's got a lot to prove, of course. Admittedly, they've got to keep James Henry from getting a red card. But the point remains, they've got to do that every week. This is a really good squad that was superb toward the end of last season. Really pushed for that playoff place. Almost got over the line. And will probably feel a little frustrated that they didn't. But look at this. I mean, Afobe, 13-21, 13-8. This weekend. Nwadiko, 19-10. Brilliant anytime goal scorer prices. And I mean, I just can't... I just look through that Blackburn squad. Conor Mahoney is a very good young talent, talented winger. But other than that, outside of Rhodes, who's unsettled, where are the goals coming from? Ben Marshall went through a really good goal scoring phase last season, but I don't see where the goals come from. And if it's a backline weaker, because Grant Hanley maybe understandably, as professional as he is, might not have his head in the game as much as usual, or the back line around him might not, then why at 5-4 would I want to back Blackburn here? I do not see the value. 15-8 Wolves is the value. And do you know what? I've actually gone further. It could be that Blackburn, because Jordan Rhodes is just a ridiculous goal scorer, could net. I think Wolves have got a lot of goals in him this season. So actually, I've played Wolves and over 2.5 match goals here, which is 100-30. Like I say, their front line is one of the best in this division this season, without question. I know Lafondre's got a lot to prove, but the rest of it is one of the best front lines in this league. And for me, I mean, you could even have a little look, I suppose, at match result on both teams at 9-2. But ultimately, I mean, tell me if I'm going mad here, Alex, but with everything I've listed about Blackburn at the moment, would you want to back them at 5-4? I wouldn't.
No, and Wolves at 15-8. It seems, put it this way, if Wolves were at home and Wolves were odds against, I'd be mad keen on them. They're priced up like that because they're away from home, but I don't think that should be... I don't think it should be the price differential that there is between the two.
No, I think Wolves are a great bet.
Okay, Wolves the pick in that one. Next up is Hull against Huddersfield. Hull 8-13, the draw 13-5, Huddersfield 4-1. Hull with plenty to prove on their return to the Championship. Huddersfield were by and large disappointing last year, and looking at what they've done in pre-season and players that they've signed, it looks like they're going to have another tough season ahead of them. Hull will want to start with a win. 8-13 is pretty short, but at the same time, fairly hard to get away from here, Pete.
Yeah, I think you phrased it probably better than I could do. They need to get back underway on good terms. We did mention earlier on about teams coming down their first game, which might worry you a little bit. The 11 points from possible 27 for the last 9 teams that have been relegated on day one of the next season. So there is that. Do have to bear that in mind. But if Steve Bruce was asked to choose a game to play on his first game back in the Championship, I would argue he would have said, I want to play at home and I want to play... Well, I'll tell you what, Huddersfield would have been in the 3 teams he would have chosen, I think. They're 7-2 for relegation, and actually that was at one point 11-2 and has been battered in by traders. Absolutely, by punters, sorry. Has been absolutely battered in. And they won only 6 games in 2015, the second half of the season. But, I mean, to be fair and to be transparent, they didn't lose as many as you think. They lost just 7 in that period as well. So a lot of draws in there. I mean, Dean Whitehead is a solid signing and a good guy. Yodi Hwula could be brilliant or could be awful. We don't know what to expect from him. He showed flashes of both at Walsall last year. And Kyle Dempsey's a talent for the future. But, again, we're talking about size. Have they improved or haven't they? And I know that's subjective to a certain extent, but I think it's hard to argue that Huddersfield have massively improved. You know, Naki Wells is going to have to step up and do something here, but, you know, you go through the goal scorer market. Naki Wells is a good player. James Vaughan can hit some good runs of form, but then you've got Miller, Bunn, Hiwula, we don't know much about at the moment in terms of what he's going to do, Lolly, Scannell. Again, where do the goals come from? I don't know.
That's not a problem for Hull, though, is it? I mean, they had players who, strikers, who when they signed for Hull in the Premiership, people went, could be interesting. And as of now, as of the time we're recording on Thursday, they've managed to keep hold of the majority of them. If they can hit any kind of form, they should be too good for many teams in this league.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, they went down with a bit of pride last season, I thought. The fixture list killed them, didn't it, toward the end? They had a really nasty... And I know you can say, well, they had easier games earlier in the season where they should have picked up the points, which is fair. But you know, sometimes the fixture list does hit you harder than others. And Hull got hit really hard. For example, I thought they really fought for themselves and for Steve Bruce in that Spurs game. And they did well. Damian Doi is in, I believe, in Turkey right now talking to Trabzonspor, isn't he, as things stand. Abel Hernandez, I'd be surprised if he's there come September the 1st. Mm. And they are trying to sign some strikers, aren't they, at the moment. But Sonny Oluko is really good in this league. You know, Ahmed El Mohammadi has proven many times, in a 4-1, by the way, is a good price, that he's very good in this league. And they have... I wouldn't say massively improved, because Klukas is a very good player, but we don't know what to expect from him in the Championship. Ryan Taylor is an astute buy. I mean, you'll know about Ryan Taylor, of course. And Tuba Akpom as well carries potential. So I wouldn't say Hull have massively improved. But again, even if they're not stronger than last season, remember, they had to be at a certain level of strength in the Premier League, didn't they? So even if they haven't improved, their starting point is much, 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 much better than Huddersfield's starting point, which hasn't been improved upon. And if that makes no sense, do stop me, but I think it does make sense. I mean, Naki Wells, if you are looking at a Huddersfield goalkeeper, 12-5, it's goalkeeper, goal scorer. If you're looking at a goalkeeper, I wouldn't start Naki Wells. 12-5 any time, but it's another handicap market for me here, actually. Minus a goal, 8-5 Hull. And of course, they've had the whole thing rumbling on about the name all summer, which you can argue might have damaged Hull on the field a bit more. But then that's been rumbling on for ages, hasn't it? Mm. And, you know, I wouldn't say that was one of the reasons that they got relegated last season. They weren't good enough. Minus a goal, Hull is 8-5. I said earlier on this podcast, I expect them to have a decent season. They need to sign a couple of strikers for me, for this league. And when they do that, if they're good strikers, then brilliant. Because I think the rest of the squad is absolutely fine. But at the moment, I think they'll win this game. But I wouldn't read too much into it until we see further movement.
Okay. Right then, the final game is Sheffield Wednesday against Bristol City. Sheffield Wednesday 5-4. The draw 23-10. Bristol City are 15-8. Sheffield Wednesday, we've had a summer of upheaval, mainly behind the scenes, it has to be said, although you'd expect plenty more signings to be coming between now and the end of the transfer window. Bristol City, on the other hand, haven't really done a great deal. They came up with a settled squad, they've managed to maintain that. Whether that's enough to, you know, succeed in this league is open to debate. But another first game of the season here, Pete, where it's pretty hard to call which way it's going to go.
It is tricky. It is tricky, but, you know, Bristol City, it was weird, Bristol City, because everyone I came across in League One, all the journalists and a few different clubs and managers and players I spoke to from a lot of clubs in League One last season, a lot of them said to me, Bristol City are going to drop away. They're going to drop away. And they didn't. They just somehow kept going. Mm. And, you know, real credit to them. They then lost, of course, J. Emmanuel Thomas, who's gone off to QPR, but they've made a really good signing in Jonathan Khadija. I couldn't believe that when I saw Khadija signs on my Twitter feed, and it was just from a French, because he was in Ligue 2 last season, you see, it was from a French Twitter feed that I follow, French football Twitter feed. And I went, oh, I wonder where he's gone. It would have taken me a million years to guess that the next place would be Bristol City. Mm. Because this is a guy who won Ligue 2 Player of the Year last season, 15 goals. And I know that league is dross. But still, to be the best player, even in a dross league, would suggest that... I mean, Lyon were meant to be looking at him at one point. You know, this is a heck of a signing for Bristol City. He got 15 goals last season. They've also, of course, kept hold of last season's 15-goal man that they had, which was centre-back Aidan Flint. Ridiculous the goals this guy scored last year. I saw him get a brace. He got a hat-trick against Walsall. 15 goals, okay, he got last season. He's 18-5 any time to score on day one of the Championship. That's a great bet. As a bet, and someone described to me when I was talking to my friend about this last night, he went, it's a great mug bet. I don't think it's a mug bet. The guy got 15 goals last season. He's huge. He's brilliant in the air. So 18-5 isn't a mug bet. 18-5 is betting on a centre back going forward and scoring, which is something he did a lot last season. And yeah, in a worse league, but still, 18-5. I'm not saying it's like 6-1, but it's still a very good bet. Mm. As for Wednesday, well, new owner of course came in last year, and then they had a little bit of a spell, and then Stuart Gray left. 15 clubs Carlos Carvajal has managed. Some big ones like Besiktas, but not for long. 15 clubs he's been in charge of. They've spent big on Marco Matias, who I saw in his time at Vitória Guimarães in Portugal a couple of years ago, before he moved to Nacional, and before from Nacional he moved to Sheffield Wednesday. Could be brilliant, could be absolutely awful. He's a player who scans both ends of it. He's that kind of talent, really. Jack Hunt's a very good signing on loan. Mudu Sogo is interesting. Ross Wallace is interesting. Lewis McGugan's a good signing. But I still don't know where their goals come from. Because Matias isn't a massive out-and-out goal scorer. He's all right, but he's not an out-and-out goal scorer. I just don't know where the goals come from. Stevie May didn't have the best of years last year, did he? I struggle. I struggle with Sheffield Wednesday in this game. And I struggle generally with them this season. Myself and Naz Premji were having a bit of a discussion about Sheffield Wednesday. He thinks it's going to be a top 10 finish for Wednesday this year. I would be stunned. The best bets in this game, the 18-5 I mentioned on Aidan Flint, Jonathan Khadija 11-5 any time. And I wouldn't play Bristol City on the outright to 15-8. Not when you're getting odds against on the draw, no bet. Like you said, two teams that may be quite hard to separate for many. Why not get that insurance? Why not get the 11-8 draw, no bet? And therefore, if it is a draw, then you get your money back or it's void off your acca and you can go about and live your life.
Hmm. Okay, could be that you mentioned the lack of goals for Sheffield Wednesday. Someone like, and I know he's just joined, so you don't know exactly where he's going to fit in, but Lewis McGugan, he's 11-1 to score first, 16-5 any time. We've seen that when fit, he can score a lot of goals from midfield, and that could be a way in for Sheffield Wednesday this year.
Very much so, but again, it's that operative phrase at the end, isn't it, from midfield?
Yes. No, I agree.
You're absolutely right, because he's a very, very good player. He's a very, very good player. But ultimately, it comes down to that one sentence, to that one little bit, which is, you know, from midfield. I still don't quite know where the goals come from up front.
Okay. Right then, that's the seven games that we're going to cover. There's obviously five others for you to get your teeth stuck into over the weekend in the Championship. Should be a fantastic weekend of action. I am yet to record the League One and Two podcast with Jack Critchley, so I don't have his nap yet. Pete, you get the first one of the season. What's it going to be?
I'm not being the guy who puts up the team he supports on as the nap for the first game of the season, but I do think Middlesbrough are fantastic value. I've gone to the other end of things, actually, and Hull minus a goal against Huddersfield. Huddersfield fans will be hoping very much that everyone talking about the Championship this season is wrong, but I don't know that they are. I really love the bet as well on Fulham to beat Cardiff at twos. I think that's fantastic. And there's, you know, some really good other bets as well. Wolves at 15-8 to beat Blackburn's great. Charlton, a really interesting value at home against QPR at twos. And I think MK Dons are interesting at the New York against Rotherham at 8-5. But ultimately, for me, I think Hull have to be back. I'm not putting the 8-13 up. I'm going to go a little bit bigger today and go minus a goal Hull at 8-5 to beat Huddersfield. A side who, admittedly, haven't lost a huge amount of goals in 2015, but they ain't won a lot either. And I think Hull will have just enough to get them over the line. And I say just enough to get over the line. They will have enough to get over that minus one line. Mm. And 8-5 is a very, very good bet.
Okay. Hull minus a goal at 8-5 for you then, Pete. I'm going to go a little bit against what you said in the podcast. I'm going to nap Sheffield Wednesday this week.
Oh, why?
I think they'll just have enough to beat Bristol City. I'm a little concerned about the lack of strengthening from Bristol City. And, you know, you've got that feel-good factor, haven't you? New guy coming in. And I think if Sheffield Wednesday are going to succeed this season, they'll need to have a good start. I'm not suggesting it'll all end, especially rosily for them. But I'm too tempted by them this week. I've thought about this for a long time, and they just keep coming back to me. It's one of those bets that you just can't seem to get away from. Yeah. And I was tempted by Wolves at a bigger price, but yeah, it's sort of, is it heart ruling head? I'm not sure what it is, but I'm going with Sheffield Wednesday anyway.
I think the point you've made there is very good, because I've talked about strengthening, and you're absolutely right. Maybe Bristol City haven't strengthened a huge amount further from where they were last season, have they? And that's a very fair point. It's a point I've made about a lot of clubs, so I should probably reiterate it about these. But Khadija, I think, is an improvement. Mm. I mean, it's not an across-the-board improvement from Bristol City, is it? But I think Khadija is an improvement, for example, on J. Emmanuel Thomas, who's left. So you are right. It maybe hasn't been an across-the-board improvement, but I think Khadija is a very, very... I think could turn out to be an incredibly good signing.
Mm. Could well be, but... I'm hoping that Sheffield Wednesday can get the job done there anyway. So we'll see what Jack Knapp's as well, and we'll get back to you on those next week. But in the meantime, Pete, enjoy all the action this weekend. Should be a fantastic start to the Championship
back.
Season. It is back, finally. And yeah, we'll talk to you next Thursday.
Cheers, Alex. Good luck, everyone.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.